Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
My name is Christine Weick. I am filling in for Phil Armstrong on today's show, and I thank him again for allowing me to do so. I am an author of the book Explain This. You can also find me at my website at www.explainthis.us. On today's next 30-minute show, we're going to talk about the 144,000 that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. Who are they, and why is there a tribe missing? If you ever run into somebody, and I'm sure you have if you are a prophecy lover like me, if you ever run into someone who claims that they know all about Revelation, they have all the answers, and I've heard many times the words, I'm all set. I know everything about Revelation. Ask them a question. Ask them who are the 144,000, and many of them will answer correctly that they are Jews, and we'll be hitting that topic this afternoon or this next 30 minutes. But ask them why there is a tribe that is missing, and they will probably draw a blank look and look at you and go, tribe missing, what are you talking about? And ask them, how come the tribes mentioned in Genesis are different by one from the tribes listed in Revelation? And they'll kind of shake their head and go, what are you talking about? Well, that's what we're going to explain today. Many cults and fanatical groups have claimed that they are the group of 144,000 mentioned in Revelation. Many of the past cults, once they have reached their 144,000 member limit, then they start changing their tune. I do believe that the number is literal and not symbolic. There are going to be 144,000 of these people described for us in Revelation. We go to Revelation chapter 7, starting at the first verse. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or upon the sea or upon any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given the power to harm the land and the sea. And he said, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. The text here in Revelation does not indicate for how long that the winds are held back. Is it a few minutes? Is it a few hours, a few days? Not specified here. But I'm sure that this event in nature, again, is something literal. It will not go unnoticed by the experts in meteorology. if we are to witness this event, should we be here on the earth, and you hear the news report of no wind anywhere upon the whole world, not just in a certain location, upon the whole world, I believe that we can expect that the prophecy of the sealing up of the 144,000 is occurring at that point. They are angels that are giving jobs in heaven, and the angels mentioned here are given the job to harm the earth. But they are told at this point that they are not to begin their mission yet. This is actually done at the sounding of the trumpets. And if we have time today, which I think we will, I will start to go into some of the trumpets and explaining each one as to what happens upon the earth. So I do believe that we can assume here that the sealing of the 144,000 will take place before the trumpets are blown. But who are these 144,000? Revelation chapter 7, starting at verse 4, we hear the number of each group, starting with the tribe of Judah. And notice there are an even 12,000 for each particular tribe. Now you get past the tribe of Naphtali. I'm not going to go ahead and read all the tribes of Israel. If you want to look them up, it's located in Genesis. However, you get past the tribe of Naphtali, and you come up to a tribe of Manasseh. That is the one that is substituted for the one missing from the original list of tribes written up in Genesis. It is the tribe of Dan that is missing. But how can this happen? Well, let's go back first of all to understand that these 144,000 are going to be Jews, and all Jews, and pure Jews only. That is why they're listed from actual tribes. I believe there can be a discrepancy here, that these are Americans, or that these are a particular religion other than the Jewish religion. These are Jews, plain and simple. And they come directly from their lineage, from whatever tribe that they come from. Maybe some know what tribe they are. I don't know. But God knows. And the issue is that God knows which tribe they belong to, or where their lineage lies, and they are sealed accordingly. Do they know that they are sealed? Yeah, probably. They may, based on their life. Maybe the Holy Spirit reveals it to them. We don't know that. But, again, God is aware of who they are. And I'd like to say that they are alive today, just waiting for the right moment for these seals to be placed at the time when there is no wind. But how is it that the tribe of Dan is missing? How can that happen? Well, this study goes way back, and this is where we need the Old Testament to help us explain Revelation. You cannot take the book of Revelation and leave it in the New Testament and not work with the rest of the Bible. Here we have a very important clue in the Old Testament why the tribe of Dan is not listed in the tribes of Revelation. The story of the tribe of Dan and why it was cursed by God goes back to the story listed in Judges chapter 17. The one thing that God hates the most, and that is idolatry, the worship of something else other than Him. It is the first commandment that was given to the Israelites. It's our first commandment that you are to not worship any other god. You're not supposed to make yourself a graven image. You are to worship only the Lord your God. He is the one that's the focus of your life, and for the Israelites, he was the one that was also the focus of their worship. The story of the demise of the tribe of Dan, like I said, starts in the book of Judges, and you can read it for yourself in chapter 17. It is the account of Micah's idols and how the tribe of Dan, they were scouts that had come from the tribe of Dan that had wandered through the area of where Micah, I believe it's the Valley of Ephraim, where Micah was an actual person who had a shrine set up for an ephod. Now, an ephod in some Bible translations call it an oracle. Now, this kind of gets grotesque here, but this is how people actually worship things and what they believed in. An oracle was a talking head. They would take a skull of something. Generally, it was a skull of a firstborn baby. They would, the heathen would take and kill their firstborn, would take the skull, dry it out, dip it into a precious metal, preferably gold, silver, bronze. They would dip this into a liquid metal, and then it would be, of course, let to sit and harden. And then they believed that the ephod or the oracle would talk. And this is obviously this type of idol here. This is an oracle that could speak. And Micah had the gift, or the demon, you would say, that would allow the oracle to speak, because actually there's a comment made from the members of the tribe of Dan, or the Israelites that go through the area, that they ask Micah to ask the oracle a question. So again, we already have an abomination already starting to occur. The scouts are using the references or using the oracle to speak for something when all they had to do was pray to God. It was also at the time where it is stated in Judges that Israel had no king. They were left to do with whatever they wanted, and that again is trouble, especially for the tribe of Israel. The story of the account, a long story short, you would say, is that the small band of the tribe, of the group that came from the tribe of Dan, ended up taking the ephod or the oracle, and the priest that actually was with Micah ended up taking the idols and the many other items that were there in the house of Micah, and they took it with them back into Israel, where the tribe of Dan, only the tribe of Dan, ended up worshiping this particular idol. And if we go to Amos chapter 8, verse 14, the curse from God falls upon only the tribe of Dan, where it is stated that the tribe of Dan will fall, never to rise again. Another interesting point here is the replacement of the tribe of Dan. And this is where you could ask your know-it-all friend, well, okay, so the tribe of Dan is missing, but why is not the tribe of Ephraim replaced from the tribe of Dan? If you go back to the account here, Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was also one of the tribes, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim was the eldest, or the firstborn. And the lineage, or the blessing, would go on to the firstborn. Now, Manasseh is not one of the original tribes mentioned in Genesis. Joseph had the two sons, and Ephraim would have then been the replacement for Dan. Now, Jacob considered the two grandsons of Joseph like his own two sons. Therefore, he would also make them into tribes. Now, if you go back to that Jewish tradition, Ephraim would have been named the successor. However, in Genesis chapter 48, Jacob blesses Manasseh, who was the younger son, not the elder. And he does this on purpose. In fact, Joseph actually corrects Jacob and says, "Father, you're placing the blessing upon the wrong head. You must bless Ephraim. He is the elder son. You have placed your hand upon the wrong person." But Jacob corrects Joseph and says, "No, I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone." And that is the reason why that Manasseh then is the reason for the listing in the book of Revelation. But why is Ephraim eliminated? Well, that actually goes to Hosea chapter 7. In fact, the whole chapter of Hosea chapter 7 records that the tribe of Ephraim, this pleased God so much that God takes the entire chapter to show that the destruction of their fate would occur so that Ephraim would be destroyed. Why? Because of the continued history and the idolatry of the tribe of Ephraim. Again, God's furious with the choices of the Israelite tribes that he refuses to pass on the blessing that we now see towards the end of the world. Now, at this point in Revelation, we leave the subject of 144,000 and it moves into another entire different direction, and we will get to that later. But the group is picked up again, and we will do that also in Revelation chapter 14, where the 144,000 are further described in a little bit more in detail. So if you go to Revelation 14, start at the first verse, and we'll go through verse 5. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. Okay, now we learn a little bit more about these people. First of all, they are separated in heaven. It's a group that is allowed to sing a song that no one else could sing. So they are separated and honored accordingly to their rank, to their deeds, to the fact that these are 144,000. And I do believe that when we get to heaven, we will see these as a group. And then, of course, at that time, they will know that they were a part, 144,000. And this is an idea of, again, in heaven, that God has special groups. This is one of them. Notice that they are playing harps. Not all members of heaven play harps. This is one group that does. And another thing that they are mentioned here is that they have the name of Jesus Christ written on their foreheads, along with the Father's name. There's your indication that this is a group of Jews, got the old Father's name, the old original Jewish traditions, but then they also have Christ's name on their forehead. And this is a very strong indication here that these are Messianic Jews. These are Jews who have taken on Jesus Christ as their Savior, not your typical Orthodox Jew who believes that the Messiah is still coming. These are Jews who follow their old traditions according to the Old Testament, but they have been redeemed, or they believe that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. That makes them unique in the Jewish world. In fact, kind of interesting, if you do ever go to Israel, the Messianic Jew is considered an outcast in Israel. I think that's amazing. But anyway, these are Messianic Jews. Another thing that you can see here is that they have dedicated their lives to the ministry. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. This is possible that they are a rabbi of sorts, but of course not in the original Jewish tradition. These are Messianic rabbis. These are people, you would say, like a priest in the Catholic Church. They have designated their entire lives to focus on God's word and to focus on their relationship with Jesus Christ. And possibly these are ministers, these are witnesses. You know, these are a group of people that are involved in the church, the bride of Christ, if you would. Now, notice also that these are virgin men. they have not had a relationship sexually with any woman. And I believe that we can conclude here that these are men. They're not women. These are men who are not married. Or they're possibly very young men, such as teenagers. Whoever they are, they have a very strong understanding of the Word of God in the New Testament because of the belief of Jesus Christ, but they have a very strong understanding of the Old Testament as well. Makes them unique. Are they young? I believe so. Are they virgins? Absolutely. That is something that we can take literally. So I do believe that these are people who are not married or are virgins, young people. And of course, as a reward, and we said this before, that they are kept together as a group in heaven because of the song that they sing. And notice where they are placed. They are placed right before the elders and the four creatures. This is in front of the throne of God, that they are allowed to stand and together as a group. And what an honor that must be, that they are right up in front of the throne before God to worship him. We have some time left. I'm going to start here with the seven trumpets. I don't know how much time we'll have to get farther into it. What I may end up doing is next week at the same time, I will recap what we will talk about today, and we will start over with the first trumpet. As we move through Revelation here, for you that are new to my program here, we are going verse by verse through the entire book of Revelation. And we are right now up to chapter 8 with the seven trumpets. I like to take a more literal view of God's word. I believe that it can be simply understood. I believe that when we start putting doctrines and theories into our explanation of Revelation, we will tend to get confused. Why not explain God's word exactly the way he wrote it, literally? And I do that, but I also back it up with other scripture. So let's start in Revelation chapter 8, verse 2.